Hi, thank you for joining in. This is Confessions of a Serial Wife. So today I want to talk about something that I've referenced in other episodes, something I've kind of gone into, but I want to go into it in more detail. And what that is sex, actually. So I definitely won't be listening to this episode. So if my chimes go off or anything like that, I apologize ahead of time, but I am not listening to this afterwards and editing, just because I won't be able to publish it then. So, all right. So let's start from the beginning. And let me preface this by saying that if you haven't listened to my previous podcasts, you'll want to listen to them before you listen to this one, as with all of them, just because I will have many reference points that you will have no idea what I'm talking about. You'll think I'm off my loon if you haven't listened to those. So I was molested when I was very small. Well, I always say kindergarten age, but honestly, it was probably preschool. I was probably like 4 years old. The reason I think that is because when I was in kindergarten, I remember walking home from school. I remember going to that boy's house. I remember him wanting to be touched, so he must have been molested. Who knows? But I remember that, and that was not at the same time that I was molested. That was at a later time, because at that point I was already kind of skewed by everything, by my experiences. So my very first introduction to sex, to everything that is encompassed by that word, was when I was probably about 4 years old. I don't even remember seeing movies with it. I mean, I just don't think those happened back then. So literally the first thing I knew about anything like that was with my best friend's dad, with his hands going down my pants. You know, he had us laying back on our backs on her bed. I remember that. And I remember him kind of making it like a game, like he was trying to put his hand, slide his hand down our belly, down the front of our pants. And I would block his hand. So I would push my hand onto my pants, like as a little roadblock. So when he's under my pants, I'm on top of my pants pushing, and so he can't go past my hand. And I remember him doing that to his daughter, and I don't think she stopped him, but I was scared. And obviously that wasn't the first thing. If you recall, the very first time that my modesty was obstructed was going to the bathroom, and he walked in, and that's how it started. So that skews you. It skews how you think and how you feel about everything. I told you after that, you know, I played with little kids. I played with little kids how I knew how. I continued to play with his daughter like that. I don't think I realized. I mean, I must have known that was scary for him to do that, but I didn't realize that it was bad. I didn't realize that that was something that shouldn't.
Guess who?
There you go. My ringer went off. So, I didn't realize that shouldn't be happening, that I shouldn't be doing that. It was just something that happened, something that you did. So that impacted my thinking. So then, of course, you know, you fast forward a few years and, you know, I'm charging a nickel for my little boyfriend to kiss me in my playhouse. And then I gave that kid the hickey. And it was just kind of a perpetual cycle that just grew. I think I was normal. I think I played normal. I think I did normal things. But that piece of me was always slightly different, slightly tainted then. So when I got into my teenage years, you know, I was going to the neighboring state and staying the summers with my sister. And there was boys, and, you know, I think I was like 14 then, 15, just barely. And I told you about her next door neighbor, the 30-year-old, and him, well, basically masturbating me and kissing me and all of that stuff. I didn't climax with him. I don't even think I got stimulated, if I even knew what that was. It was just the act that I knew. You know, the touching, you know, what you're supposed to be like, that you're supposed to just lay there and, you know, accept it. So I knew that. So my understanding was completely different. Nobody told me that I was molested, you know. And during this point, if you recall, I was still having nightmares every night. I had a nightmare every single night of being down in that school basement. I don't think I was ever molested in a school basement. It's just how my subconscious put it all together. You know, with the man coming down the stairs in the long black coat and the wide-brimmed hat. So I never realized I was being molested. I didn't realize I was being molested by the 30-year-old. I kind of had this weird fantasy that we would, you know, fall in love, or he would realize he was in love with me, and then we would run away. You know, I didn't know. I don't know. My idea of love was very romanticized because of all the Disney movies I watched, I guess. And then, you know, my sex ideas were obviously skewed. So I remember being in that little mountain town and telling one of my friends that I just wanted to get it over with, that I was just going to sleep with somebody. And because I didn't want to be a virgin anymore. And that's when I hitchhiked on that 10-speed and met my first boyfriend, first husband. Thank God it was him, because that could have turned out so much worse, I gotta tell you. You know, and that was after kissing the 30-year-old minor and all of that, like gold miner, not minor, but gold miner. You know, hippie, gross, beard, hair, stringy, non-showered, non-clean. And so thank God that I ran into, you know, my first boyfriend, because it probably saved me so much heartache and, you know, diseases. It was just a very different life. So by the time him and I were actually having sex, it was, I don't want to say it was a tool, but it actually kind of was, because it was what boys wanted and I knew how to do it and I didn't mind it. I don't think I really liked it. I think I liked how they responded to it. So, you know, when he brought up the threesome idea with the boy, with his friend that I liked, you know, it wasn't totally off the plate. I went for it because of how my brain was wired. But after we were married and he wanted to actually swap me, it was no longer like this fun thing. It was actually like him trading me. And that I didn't like. I didn't respond to that. But the touching and, you know, in the car, me laying back in my miniskirt and, you know, it was all just, I don't know, I guess it was a tool. I guess that's probably the most appropriate thing. After I had kids, it became not so much about that because, of course, you become focused on your kids. But, you know, I mean, that's still always there. So then when their dad and I started having issues and, you know, did our week separation and all of that stuff, and I lost weight, and, you know, it became that same thing for me. It was that same kind of a tool. You know, it was a way for me to feel better about myself. It was a way for me to take control, to have control, to have a say, because I guess I felt really voiceless, even though, you know, I didn't really feel voiceless, but I guess in the ways that it meant most to me, I probably did. It's just a really hard topic to talk about. So let's backtrack just a second. When I married the gay guy, that was kind of the whole premise of our marriage, was sex. We met, and I swear it was like the next day or a couple days later that we got married. Stupid, but it was really all based on that sex. And my son's biological thing, it's the same thing. It was all based on sex. And I suppose I tried to make that work by using that as a tool, using that control, that I don't know, kind of a promise of having me, I don't know, kind of a thing. And that's why it didn't work. I mean, I had no idea about anything. You know, I was still so skewed. And I think that I knew at that point, you know, that I had been molested, and I told, you know, my husbands, plural, each one, I told them what happened, and I don't know if they thought they could fix me. I don't know. Do guys go through that? Because I know that's definitely a woman thing, where we pick the most broken, defeated guy and think we can fix them and make them better, and then they're going to be so appreciative. So maybe men do that too. Maybe they thought they could fix me. It never worked like that, though. But as I got older, and, you know, after the kids' dad, sex was good. I knew what I liked at that point. With husband number 4, he played games with me, and we had toys, but he would blindfold me and, you know, knock on the door and do different voices, and it was exciting. And there was a fling, you know, before him, and he was a ruffian, and I haven't talked about him before, but that went on off and on for a long time. He would call me from various kind of abandoned places, and we would meet and it was rough and hot, and he was so sexy, and it was so scary in these places, and I don't know, it was amazing. But there was nothing more there than sex. I guess in my mind, I might have, you know, delusionally thought maybe something could happen, but there was nothing more there than sex, really. Even when I think about all the times that, you know, I thought, oh, yes, I love men. You know, all the times I referenced that I crave them, or, you know, I'm looking for the next Mr. X. I thought about it as a tool. It was just this nasty, hot tool. And with the biological thing, when we got into drugs, it was horrible. I don't even think I liked sex at that point because it was just dirty and not good. I wasn't in control then. So, I guess that my whole point of this episode, well, actually, I don't even know if I had a point other than maybe just to say it out loud, how skewed your thinking can be, how changed your life can be. And I suppose I've said that stuff in other episodes. But maybe I'm thinking of this now because, you know, you look at social media and it's all, well, commercials, everything, advertising, everything is sex, 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 you know, cleavage, butt shots, everybody has the perfect body. And then you look at social media and they're all talking about the porn sites and, you know, how that has to come down and be stopped. And it's shameful to body shame. It is shameful to body shame. And I don't go for porn. I think if you're watching porn, you know, on a regular basis, I think you probably have some issues like me. But all of these experiences, especially from early on, they really change how you are and how you look at things. They change how you feel about yourself and how you feel about everything. How you relate to other people. What you think about other people. And then as you come to understand more and more about where these feelings and angst, where they're coming from, you know, you change again. You almost go the opposite way to try to counter, now that you're aware, you know, oh my God, I can't be like that. I have to counter it and be this way. And I wish to God it wasn't like that, but unfortunately that's what happens, I suppose. If you, you know, there's, well, I want to say guys, but women do it too, because, you know, I went through that phase where, you know, you just sleep with everything, and I think guys are more prone to that because they're not hopeful for anything, half of them. They just want to conquer that piece of ass, for lack of a better phrase, and move on and conquer another one. Whereas women, they want to conquer it and they want the man to kind of fall for them, I think, really, secretively. We don't fess that up, but that's really what we want. Even if we don't want the man, we want the man to fall for us, because that's a way of kind of emphasizing our value, our worth, because so many of us are tainted. There's always the one-offs, but I think in general that's kind of how it works. I have a different perspective now too, because of course my kids are older, and you know, I've heard all their stories, and you know, they're having sex, and you don't ever want to think about that from your kids, but that's life, and hopefully you've raised them well enough to where they have kind of a safe experience, have a normal experience, go about things normally. And I think I did that with the kids. I definitely don't think that they realize that I'm skewed in that area. I don't think my husband knows I'm skewed in that area. I think a lot of people probably are a little off from their experiences. It would be interesting to hear from somebody that deems themselves, normal. I mean, what is normal in that area? I think it's like 1 in 5 women experience sexual assault before they're like 18 or something. And so, I mean, is there a normal? Who doesn't have that happen? Maybe we think we're normal and we're not. And I'm sure that many guys are like that too. I guess, maybe this episode is meant to just kind of air out everything that's kind of hidden in the background that nobody talks about. You know, are you normal in that area? Maybe you're skewed. Maybe you're just as tainted as I am, and you just don't realize. You know, how do you know? What do you compare yourself to? I don't think people actually go around voicing everything they feel about sex and talking about all of their experiences. I just don't think that happens. I think if you're bragging it up with the guys, or, you know, telling your awesome night with the girls, that's all skewed anyway. You're not really telling them anything. You're kind of comparing, you know, all the good points, or maybe making a mockery of the bad points. You're not really opening yourself up or sharing or learning. And they probably aren't either, so you're not even getting this, the other side. So I don't know. I don't know where this episode was supposed to go. Maybe I just needed to voice it, and if it helps somebody or if it makes you contemplate something, then I've done my job. And years from now, hopefully, if my kids listen to this and think, oh my God, my mom, you know, was crazy, then that's okay too, because at least they will know that, you know, they didn't know I was weird until this episode, probably, or until this podcast. So I did my job. You know, I camouflaged myself. I blended in well so that I could raise them well, regardless of all the crap that happened to me. And nobody is the wiser, really. If you met me on the street, you wouldn't know that this was my life. You wouldn't know I had all these experiences and thoughts. You would think I was just a normal soccer mom. Some people probably think I'm snooty. Some people think I'm overly friendly. Some people think I'm weird. That's, you know, you would just not know this stuff about me. So maybe it's good that I am saying this stuff and exposing it, and everybody's hearing that we all have these thoughts, and bad things happen to everybody, and especially when it comes to sex and bad experiences as a child. How you're introduced to something is very important, and it stays with you a lifetime. And I'm kind of a testament to that fact. And to be quite honest, the more I think about this and the more I talk about all these experiences with you guys, kind of the worse I feel in my marriage, honestly, because he doesn't know all of this stuff. I mean, he does, but he doesn't understand it. And then it causes me to have hard feelings, and so it does. It takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on your whole life. So guard your babies and try to have some understanding for those of us that have gone through difficult times. And maybe when you're with your significant other the next time, you know, think about what could they be thinking or what could they be experiencing. And then actually be honest with yourself about what you're thinking and feeling. You know? Anyway, this felt like it was going to be more than this, and maybe it was more than how I see it to some people. I don't know. It was important to voice for me, though. I think some things get like that, where they just get so bottled up and so stifled and tainted that you just have to spit them out eventually. So that's what I did with this, I guess. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'll have another pointed topic the next time, and I promise I won't go off on a tangent like I feel like I did with this one. Anyway, thanks so much. Until next time. Bye-bye.